Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing on in the book of Psalms. We're actually making some progress, are we not? We're up to the 17th Psalm. Yeah, I sort of anticipate the Psalms taking us quite a while, but we've already seen something here that I think is really, really, really good. You can approach so many, if not all, issues within the Scripture from the Psalms. I mean, the Psalms speak so broadly, and yet they speak in such detail about so many things. I'll give an example. I would dare say that most people who are believers don't realize how much information is given about creation, about the cosmology, the world in which we exist, how much is given in the Psalms. Okay, the same way about the very nature of the cosmology, the very nature of what we can see and what we can't see is given in the Psalms, if we pay attention. The sad truth is that too often we just sort of read over it and like we're reading a poem that we're not really paying much attention to. And so I keep pointing things out and try to draw our attention to these things, and the Spirit will teach us and give us some insight to some stuff, right? So we're up to the 17th Psalm. This one has a title, A Prayer of David. So it's another Psalm that's a prayer of David. This one's defined as a prayer, okay? It's not one of the Shigonoths or one of these things, Miklach's things. We're not quite sure what they are that may or may not have been used in corporate worship. This is simply described as a prayer. David starts in verse 1, and he says this, Psalm 17, "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry." So he's calling upon the Lord to listen to him. And he says, I have a just cause. I have something here that is just. I have something that needs to be addressed. Something is wrong that's come against me. As you can probably guess, there'll be some enemies here in a minute. Okay? Somebody coming against him. But he's saying, hear it, Lord. But not only hear it, attend. Attend to my cry. Attend to that which I'm lifting up to you. Okay? And that literally means to give heed to it. That word attend has become a bit of a buzzword in various circles. I've encountered it of late within the last year or so. I'm helping out with a homeschool cooperative, a homeschool program, and classical conversations, which I highly recommend. If you know of anybody who's desiring to do homeschool and things like that, or they're wanting to check it out, or they're terrified over it, they don't want to do, that is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous option and a resource. And they're real big on that word attend. When I first started reading all of their, particularly their, what do they call me? Oh, they call me, I'm a lead learner. That's what it is, lead learner. When I was reading all the training stuff, it had all this, attend to this, attend to this. And I thought, okay. And at first, when I first encountered it in a couple of phrases, I thought, what do they mean by that exactly? But then when I saw in more and more context within things, it basically means, hey, we need you to pay attention, okay? You need to pay attention to this. You need to do this. So if I tell my kids, attend to your room right here, which means what? Clean it up, okay? And they use it quite a bit, even in the phraseology of the work that the students do. And so if you've got a math problem, for instance, you look at it, and they'll say, attend to the problem. Well, what does that mean? You know, attend to the problem. And what it means, and it's a great thing, it means to observe it. Pay attention to it. What do you see there? Oh, I see numbers. Yeah, what kind of numbers? Well, they're even numbers, odd numbers. Very good. Do you see any processes or anything? Yeah, yeah. It's like I see a plus sign. I see a division sign. Yeah, yeah. So that's called attend, to give attention to pay attention to. And the psalmist David is asking God to do that. To hear his just cause, and attend to his cry. Verse 1 finishes with, give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. And, you know, and quite often when we read these kind of things that David's saying, acknowledge it now, you know it, you get a little uncomfortable, don't you? You go, wait a minute, how can he say these kind of things? Because David didn't live a perfect life. Well, no joke. Nobody does. But he's sitting here saying, God, listen to what I'm crying out to you. Give attention to this. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. He's saying, I have no agenda with this. I just have something I need you to do. You know, and that's been a big prayer of mine lately, that particularly that phrase right there that I just said. I didn't even think about that. But I've actually had a couple of groups to join with me in this. And I simply tell them this. I need God to do something. I need him to do something. Haven't gone into detail. Haven't told anybody what it was. I need the Lord to do something. You know, Lord, I need you to do something. And I'm asking you this, Lord, from lips free of deceit. Okay? Not lying, no agenda, no manipulation, nothing like that. But give ear to my prayer, okay? I need you to do something. Then in verse 2, he says, from your presence, let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. That's interesting. Let my vindication come forth from you, is what the Lexham says. Let your eyes see fairness. Let me see what the other ones say. The King James, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Then New American Standard. Let my judgment come forth from your presence. Let your eyes look with equity. So he's asking for the Lord to look upon the situation with his eyes and do what is right. Do what is fair. Do what is equal. Do it with equity. But he's saying, I want you to judge. Let my judgment come forth from your presence. From your presence, let my vindication come. And so that right there is a little nuance I think is important for us to pay attention to. Because it says, let my judgment, is somebody else judging David? What's going on? What's happening? When it says, let your from your presence, let my vindication come. He's saying, God, I am trusting you to do what is right and to vindicate me. I'm trusting you to judge me before all people and show that my cause is just, that my lips bear no deceit. You see how he's flowing through this thing? He's saying, God, you know this. As a matter of fact, in verse 3, he says, you have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. And so he's saying, in relationship to whatever is happening right here in this situation, in this circumstance, he says, God, you've done it. You've tried me. You visited me. You tested me, and you have found nothing. You have found nothing that would point to me as being guilty in this situation and this circumstance. And the reason is, I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. Boy, is that a tough one right there. Have we done that? Sort of frightening to think about doing that, about purposing that my mouth will not transgress. Because in front of my mind, I'm thinking, the second I want the purpose, I will not transgress with my mouth. What's going to happen? Well, I'm going to be challenged within that arena. And something's going to occur that's going to want me to transgress with my mouth. Excuse me. But David's saying, you know, Lord, you know I have purposed this. And you've tried my heart. You've examined my heart. You visited me by night, examined me by night. That's really intriguing. When David's saying, when I'm upon my night bed, when I am physically asleep, physically closed down like that, you have examined me. There's reasons that God comes to us by night in dreams and visions. We're sort of not distracted by the cares and concerns of the world and that those things that we can see within the natural. But he said, you tested me, and you have found nothing. Is that not a great thing? I think we perhaps need to do that. Let's decide that we're not going to transgress with our mouth, and that we'll be able to say, Lord, you have found nothing when you've tried me, visited me, and tested me. Well, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.